So, to take in the good involves repeatedly sustaining a positive experience for 10 or 20 or 30 seconds in a row. I mean positive pragmatically, as that which leads to happiness and welfare for ourselves and often for others. Some positive experiences are affectively negative or unpleasant, such as healthy remorse or disenchantment that recognizes that something that we hoped would happen just ain't going to happen. You know, that dog is never going to hunt or what have you. But generally, the experiences that build up resources inside, including this increasingly bone-deep sense of fullness that undoes the engine of craving, those experiences are largely pleasant. They feel good. Happiness is skillful means. So how do we get them into our brain, given its negativity bias that, as you've heard me say probably, makes it like Velcro for negative experiences but Teflon for positive ones? The brain is really good at learning from bad experiences, but really bad at learning from good experiences. It doesn't convert good experiences to neural structure very efficiently or quickly unless they're million-dollar moments. That's where deliberately taking in the good comes in. You trick the brain by staying with the positive experience for 10, 20 seconds in a row, helping it fill your body and priming memory systems by intending and sensing that it really sink into you. Okay, so let's do this a few times. You want to try it? Okay, so let me just kind of name the three steps, and then we'll practice them. And then I'll take your comments or discussion about it. So the three steps are: have a positive experience in the first place, often because you notice you're already having one, sometimes because you create one. Right? Second step, enrich the experience. Let it enrich in you. Extend it. So help it last by creating sanctuary for it, giving your mind over to it. It's a kind of absorption practice in contemplative terms for 10 or 20 or 30 seconds in a row. Let it fill your body, give your body over to it. It's not the idea, it's the experience that we want to help sink in. And then in the third step, absorb it, sense and intend that it's sinking into you. People vary in how they do this. They might feel like it's water going into a sponge. Kids, I'll talk about a jewel going into the treasure chest of the heart. Or you can just know that it's going in. And I'll walk you through those three steps. So I thought we could do it with, and we'll explore this, three deep ways to undo the grasping and craving that's driven by a sense of deficit, you know, anti-fullness, not having enough fullness. So, and this is a little artificial, you're going to be creating an experience. Although in the first one, you're not creating it, you're noticing it. So to begin with, have the experience of that you are all right right now. So this is a bit of a guided practice. I'll take about a minute with this. In other words, open to registering the signals that are coming up into your brain from your body, coming up from your heart, from your lungs, from your viscera, your organs, that you're actually all right in this moment. You're basically okay. You're not about to die. You're not in agony. Sometimes we're not all right right now, but most moments we're all right. See what it's like to feel all right. You might have to fend off automatic anxiety a little bit and regenerate again and again the actual experience that you're all right based on observation. I'm all right right now. And then I'll be quiet for about half a minute or so while you stay with it and kind of marinate in, sink into a sense of feeling at peace. All right. Okay. So that was the first round. That relates to the avoiding system of the brain. The first one of all, because rule one in the wild is eat lunch today, don't be lunch today, right? So do you have any questions about that little practice? You are foregrounding an experience that was already present in awareness that you're actually all right. And then you are creating sanctuary for it in your mind. Coming back to it if your mind wandered, staying with it. And then also probably getting a sense that it was sinking into you as you sink into it. Okay. So do you have any questions about the practice itself or any comments on the results for you?
Yeah, I was kind of sinking into the bodily experience of it also. Like yeah. That was all right also. Is that kind of a normal pathway to
yeah.
adding to?
That's great. The more body, the better. You know, yeah, really. And it's interesting to appreciate on this one that it's available to us almost every minute, unless we're in screaming agony. Almost every minute, the body is telling us, it's like a night watchman or woman, night watch woman, whatever. All is well. What's that, all is well? There's probably some little English poem about that.
All sleep. All is well and all manner of things are well.
Okay, all is well and all manner of things are well, sleep well, you know, something, right? We can listen to it. We just have to, you know, put our ear to the body, as it were, to hear that it's telling us, you're actually okay. You don't need to be braced. You don't need a guard. You're not at war. You're not being threatened. No lion is pouncing. There's no need to crave safety. You're already safe. Okay? And the three steps are clear. You have a positive experience. You enrich it. And then you absorb it. Let's try it now with the second major motivational system, the one that approaches rewards, pursues carrots. All right? In this one, you'll be creating an experience here, not just noticing a positive experience. Think of one or more things that make you feel grateful. And then help it move from the concept of things you're thankful for to an actual experience of appreciation and gratitude. It could also be things that you're glad about, not just things that, in a sense, have been given to you. And then notice what it's like increasingly to feel grateful, to feel appreciative and thankful. You're doing the second step, you're enriching it and extending it, you're staying with it, giving your body over to gratitude. Even a subtle experience can fill the mind with also a sense that it is sinking into you, becoming a part of you. You're letting yourself change a little bit to become a little bit more grateful. Okay, coming back. So that too. Any questions about the actual method? By the way, it's really okay to continue to feel all right now or grateful. Any port in a storm, right? Any positive experience is good. So questions about the method or comments about what you experienced?
Filled with the level of contact I have through my poems.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of don't worry, or I don't miss that I'm not famous. Mm. But I used
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Now I see I'm really happy to connect with the people that I share with.
Yeah.
And it's pretty close to enough. I'm still sending poems.
Yeah.
But this part is what buoys me.
Yeah. That's great. That's a growing internalized sense of fullness, as it were. A couple of points about this. One is that part of practice is to just be with what's there, where we do not attempt to intervene or influence what streams through us. And that's, I think, the primary mode of practice, ultimately. That said, even as great a fan of just being with what's there as the Buddha allocated at least half of the elements of the Noble Eightfold Path to very actively working with the mind. Right speech, right livelihood, right action, right effort. You could argue even the right intention as an active working with the mind, the cultivation of right view, too, is a working with the mind. So both are true. For me, the great bird of practice, if you will, has being with and working with. It needs two wings to fly. And working with has gotten kind of a bad name in Buddhism, I think, because people have mistaken the notion of mindfulness as equating to just being with what's there. But in fact, mindfulness is to be present whether you're working with what's there or just being with what's there. There's a place for both, and they serve each other. To work with anything skillfully, we need to be able to be with it. To cultivate the capacity to just be with experience streaming through, we need to work with certain muscles to build them up. So it's okay, as part of practice and life in general, to deliberately self-activate useful states of mind, to call up gratitude at will, to call up strength at will, to call up some growing calming in an intense situation at will, to call up compassion, loving kindness, patience for other people. There's a place for that. Getting those good songs to play on the inner iPod is a fundamental capacity of real mental health or healing or self-actualization or spiritual practice. Sometimes people resist this idea, but I personally think it's utterly appropriate to get certain factors of mind, to color the mind in various ways. Okay. Second point, states. It helps to differentiate states. How does gratitude feel distinct from feeling all right now? How does gratitude feel thankfulness for gifts that one is given? How does that feel different a little bit from gladness, where you're just generally happy? You know, it helps to differentiate states. Next point, states become traits. In other words, mental states, because neurons that fire together wire together due to neuroplasticity, repeatedly activated mental states become neural traits. They get woven into the fabric of your brain and therefore your being. So activated states are the doorway to building up the inner resources of lasting traits. See this pathway? So you can't build up a trait. You can't create a trait without initially activating the state. So getting more and more nimble with being able to activate states of interest, useful resource states of mind, is very important to be able to do. And we're dealing with a brain that turns negative mental states into negative neural traits just like that. Once burned, twice shy. Whereas it takes a lot of repetition for and duration for positive mental states to become positive mental traits. And yet, so much of what practice is about on the path of awakening, or just life in general, is the cultivation, bhavana, cultivation of wholesome states of mind and heart, wholesome qualities. But how do we get those qualities into our brain? That's where repeatedly taking in the good of momentary mental states really comes in. Plus, it's an enormously enjoyable and therefore motivating aspect of practice. It's not the whole of practice, but it's a critically important part. All right? Okay, so let's try it one more time on the third fundamental motivational self-regulatory system, the attaching system that forms relationships with other people. Okay? On this one, another, I think, critically important state to be able to activate at will, much like gratitude or much like feeling all right now, in terms of the attaching system, is the state, the experience of feeling cared about. Feeling cared about is on a spectrum. It includes belonging. It includes being seen. It includes being liked, appreciated, and loved. Anything in that range. It could be people in your life today who give you this experience when you think about them, people in your past. It could be a group of people. It could be a spiritual being. It could be a pet. So take a moment here. You're going to be creating a state of mind. You're going to be activating it, thinking of one or more beings that you know care about you. People who love you, past or present. And then helping this idea to become an experience of feeling cared about. That's the first step. You're activating a positive experience. And then in the second and third steps, and I'll be quiet, you're taking this activated state and installing it as a trait into your brain by, in the second step, extending the experience, enriching it, letting it fill your body, feeling cared about in your heart. Maybe feeling loving yourself in response to feeling cared about. And then also sensing that it's sinking into you as you sink into it. So I'll be quiet as you explore giving yourself over to feeling cared about. In other words, what's it like to feel loved? Or that you matter to someone? Okay. So coming back, most of the time when we take in the good, it's on the fly in everyday life. And it's 5 seconds here, 15 seconds there, 30 seconds sometimes. That's great. Sometimes we do it, we just notice, often we notice we're already having a useful mental state and experience, but instead of letting it wash through the brain and be wasted, as most positive experiences are, we stay with it past a kind of threshold in the brain, around 10 seconds or so, where if you're below that threshold, not much, if any, converts to neural structure. It doesn't get encoded. It doesn't transfer from short-term memory buffers down into long-term storage. But if you get past a critical threshold, it depends on the person and the experience, their mind, but roughly around a dozen seconds. You get past that threshold of staying with it, then there's a dramatic increase in what's encoded in emotional memory, what sticks to your mental ribs. It's been deeply humbling for me as a therapist, a teacher, a practitioner to realize how many positive states were wasted on my brain, or those of my clients, or what have you. It's humbling, you know. We don't want to waste this stuff. We want to help it stick. So that. The second thing to say is that it's also very possible, not just in the flow of life, but at the end of a meditation practice, that's a fantastic time to just take a few extra, take half a minute, and kind of register the global state you were in, like you described, for example, that sense of, you know, sort of a wholeness in experience, or anything. Or maybe there's a realization, an insight, that has a felt recognition in the inside. Whatever it is to take a dozen seconds or more to help it land, to help it register. So you take it with you, increasingly, wherever you go. Other good times, not on the fly, are, for example, at meals. Just a moment to let things sink in. Or just before sleep, when the brain is in a particularly spongy state. Okay? So as we move to a wrap tonight, any comments or questions about taking in the good in general, which I'll also explore with you next week, and talk about how to use this method to actually heal old pain and to clear out old pain, to gradually soothe it and replace it by pairing both positive and negative material in awareness. So far, we only did the first three steps, which are purely positive, even if you know that one of the experiences you're taking in is a key resource for you. It's kind of your personal vitamin C to fill your own hole in the heart. That'll be next week. But as we wrap up tonight, are there any further questions about the method itself, how to use it in daily life, or comment on what you experienced?
Just a couple of things. One is just the understanding that the good is always available, but I have to put forth effort to harvest it.
Ah.
That it's not really something I paid attention to.
Oh, that's good.
It's just already there.
Yeah.
It's like the check is in the mailbox.
Yes.
I just have to unlock it.
That's right. Stop leaving money on the table.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so just a real good, but it takes an investment.
Yeah.
And effort.
A little bit, but
a little bit.
Kind of the baseline is half a dozen times a day, 30 seconds at a time. What is that? 3 minutes a day. Honestly, I'm astonished at the impact of this practice. And it also shifts your general orientation to your life. You start, exactly as you said, you start seeing life as opportunity. You know, a metaphor for me about this is that we go through life down a path strewn with 10,000 pearls, and we hardly notice a single one, number one. We notice every dog turd, right? Every flea, every loose thread. But how many of those pearls do we actually notice going down the pathway of life? And then second, if we notice them, do we have an experience? Often we'll notice it conceptually. Oh, you were nice to me. Oh, I got the load of laundry done. Oh, ain't dead yet. Oh, you know, I got a check in the mail. Oh, you know, we notice things, but we don't feel anything. And then, third thing, if we feel it, if we actually have an experience, do we stay with it past that threshold that it actually transfers into long-term emotional memory? So what I'm talking about, to pick up on what Tom said, is go through life with a vacuum cleaner. You know, sucking these good pearls into yourself, weaving them into the fabric of your brain and your life. Okay. So that's the practice of bhavana, neurobhavana, neurocultivation. Let's sit for a minute on this, and then we'll wrap up. And you're not clinging to the positive experiences that you are taking in. You are abiding with them and out of kindness to yourself, helping your attention, your mindfulness, to rest upon them. This is also such a lovely time of year to take in the beauty in people's faces, and also take in their own good wishes toward us. What a great time.
Rick, will we be meeting here the day after Christmas?
Thank you. Yeah. So I wanted to announce that and forgot. Thanks. Yeah, we will meet continuously through this period.
Excellent.
Great. Okay, see you next week. And I don't think there'll be a reception here, and alas, less opportunity for value.